Say hi everyone and welcome to Tuesday Tips for parents of teenagers here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, where we bring you valuable information, practical information for today's teens, how to parent our teenagers, how to raise highly effective teenagers and mentally well teenagers without losing our minds, right? And today we just have one of the most perfect guests for that topic. Our guest today is Ken Bohm, and Ken is the author of Mental Edge for Teens. And the question that you may be asking is, why should you listen to Ken? Why should you listen to this conversation? And I'll tell you why. It's important that we listen to this conversation. Remember, even though we are presenting, I'm always the first one to listen. Why? Because remember, you guys, you know, I'm a parent of teenagers as well. So I am always wanting to glean cutting edge information. And on top of that, I know myself to be a leader because parents are leaders. And leaders are learners. So here we are today. I'm going to introduce Ken. Ken, tell us a little bit about yourself before we delve into the first question that we ask everyone, every guest that comes on today's show.
Thank you for having me, Angie. It's a pleasure. I'm in San Clemente, California. It's a rainy day today. And yet our bad weather is still 55 degrees. So it's a good thing. We love the rain here. We needed it. I've raised two kids and they both got through their teen years relatively unscathed, but that's not what's important. What's important is just because it worked for my kids doesn't mean it's going to work for your kids. Mm-hmm. I've worked with thousands of kids, high achieving teens, mm-hmm. Air Force fighter pilots have become doctors, professional athletes. I've watched it work over and over and over again to take kids that were lacking confidence, shy, introverted, bullied, ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, you name it, I've heard the diagnosis, and we've helped their lives tremendously. Now, as a martial arts instructor and owner of a dojo, I trained hundreds of kids. As a sports trainer, thousands of kids. I've taken teams to the Junior Olympics in martial arts, in volleyball. I know what makes a teen tick, how they think, and how to change that thinking. The subtitle of my book is very interesting. It's The Mental Edge for Teens is the title, but the subtitle is How to Thrive in School, Sports, and Life in a World of Chaos, Bullies, and Ever-Changing Values.
Wow. Isn't that what we all want to hear? Come on, parents, we are celebrating about this topic, yeah? Because the problems you mentioned, I can tell you the many stories that I've received from parents, you know, parents in tears. What do I do? What do I do? Because we feel almost helpless to be able to help them. But today, here you come, and it's a breath of fresh air. I am so, so excited. Right, one of the very first questions we like to ask our guest here, and I know it's going to resonate with you, Ken Bohm, is we believe in being intentional parents. In your view, how would you describe being an intentional parent?
Intentional parent starts with a purpose. What is your purpose? What is your end game with your child? Mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up, my dad was a wonderful example in many, many areas. Mm-hmm. And one area that he lacked was saying, I love you. He never told me I love you till I was 18 years old and was leaving the house. And I realized something. At the time, it was kind of hurtful, you know, because he never said that to me. When he did, it was like, whoa. And then I found out that his father, a Russian immigrant, never said I love you once in his entire life. So I made an intention that I was going to make sure I told my kids I love them. I was going to show it, and I was going to speak it. That's intention, making up your mind and then doing it.
Wow. Wow, that is so powerful, because what you have mentioned is his father before never mentioned it once. Your father mentioned it once to you, and you decided it's going to that cycle of withholding the goodies, our emotional endearings and endearments towards our children. You are going to start a new cycle and stop the one that was not serving, the one that was not building.
Exactly.
And Let me say this, yeah? There is always, when we speak with parents and they say that, and I'm glad you said this was intentional, because it doesn't happen by default. Nobody said to parents that we are either going to parent by design or by default, right? And the default is doing the same thing that your parents did, even though it's not serving us. But then also we have to give grace to them, because they only operated at their level of thinking. That was their level of consciousness. They could not give us what they did not have.
Exactly. Right? You nailed it. And that's one of my big teachings is this. Our parents did the best they could with what they had. That's it. They didn't know any different, right? They just, you know, I got hit with a belt. It's just the way my dad was hit with a stick, you know? So, I mean, it's just the way it went. And so we can make conscious decisions to better ourselves for our kids. What is our purpose? Are we living for our children or something else? Now, what's the blend to giving them what they need and making sure we get what we need? There's a balance there, but I'll tell you what, there is nothing more satisfying. There is nothing more valuable than raising a healthy, happy, successful teen, because your life will be amazing when you do that. It takes effort, it takes time, but it's so worth it.
It is absolutely worth it. And again, it takes intentionality, it takes work, and it takes for us. I remind myself and I remind parents that parenting teenagers, it's not a walk in the park, right? And you can't play background football. I mean, you can't play champion. Parenting teenagers is like, it's like championship level football. You can't play championship level football with the skills of back, you know, your back garden. You have to upskill. We have to upskill, and upskill means listening. Like all of you guys here, I really commend you for being on here, because listening to these ideas is helping you reform, relearn, and possibly even unlearn some of the thinking, some of the beliefs that were put in us, right? And in learning these new skills, in learning these new beliefs, in learning these new ways of thinking, then we can be better. And when we are better, we are able to do better, and we are better for our kids. So I am so, so excited. Another thing I want to ask you, Ken Bohm, is what led you to doing this work? We'd like to know what inspired you to doing this, because this is phenomenal work. At what point did you decide, I want to do this? This is my calling, possibly. This is my purpose.
Great question. And it really started back when I was a senior in high school and my best friend blew his brains out in the school parking lot. And the weekend before that, he and I went camping. And we camped, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we came back home. I dropped him off at 11:35 Sunday night. The next morning at school, I didn't start till third period, and he got there before me, and he came looking for me, and I wasn't there. And he told the teacher, if Ken, you know, gets here, let him know I'm looking for him. By the time I got there, I heard ambulances, and he shot himself in his car in the school parking lot. And I thought everything was great. He was an amazing guy. Life seemed to be good, but it wasn't. The internal pressure that his parents put on him, the negativity that he got from him was swallowing up this brilliant student, brilliant athlete that on the surface looked like a Greek god, but inside he was a crumbling little boy. And I don't want to cry. It was devastating. That's what caused me to follow this path. And in my own life, I grew up with alcoholic father, alcoholic mother, grandfather's alcoholics, prison, jail, all that stuff was normal for our family. I grew up with 7 male cousins, 5 were dead by the age of 37 from drugs and alcohol, et cetera. So I learned to change my thinking by studying, by being intentional to find out what makes people do things. I didn't want to get into talk therapy. I didn't want to get into things that weren't working. I wanted to find something that actually changed people. And the biggest thing I found is that teens aren't understood by parents. We forget what it's like to be a teen. So ask yourself this question. If I were a teen, what would I need from my parents? If I were a perfect parent, what would I do? Ask those questions and then do those things. There is nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. Make up your mind right now to be an amazing parent. And then, and only then, will you have the best shot at raising a remarkable teen. There may be problems along the way, but when you make up your mind to be an amazing parent, you're going to get through these things and life is going to be good and suicides won't happen.
Absolutely. Wow. Gosh, I'm so sorry about what happened. That must be traumatic. But I like what you say, that you decided to change things, not just for you, but for the thousands of teenagers that you have changed for. And it's about building from within. Because I usually say a lot of us, even the grown-ups, there's this nicely decorated cake. It's got the bells, the whistles, and the everything. But inside, there's no cake. The main thing is missing. And that, above all else, I believe that is what we want to be working on. And I know before we started this show, you talked about you want teenagers, you want parents to be their authentic selves, because once you know you, once you know who you are, your authentic self, nothing else matters. Nothing else phases you, because you are grounded, you are anchored. Of course, you can put the icing if you like, you can put the makeup, you can go in the gym and build a body, you can go and do all these things. We're not saying all these things are bad, but what is inside of you? I'd like you to speak into that, Kimbon, because I feel there's something that parents need to hear today.
Let your kids be who they are and guide and direct them. The authentic person isn't trying to fit in with what society says they should be, or school says they should be, or their peer group in that little high school or middle school. They have the tendency, these teens, to think that this is life right now. This is everything. It's never going to change. It's never going to get better, never going to get worse. It's just life. And when they're authentic, they think differently about life. They think about possibilities. They think about what they're going to achieve. When they're authentic, bullying doesn't matter. It doesn't happen, because it just rolls off them like water on a duck's back. When they're authentic, they don't care whether they have the latest shoe or the latest phone or the latest whatever, because they're being authentic to themselves.
Come on.
When you're authentic, you will stand out from the crowd. And when you're, when you've internalized that as being okay, it's okay. It doesn't bother you to be different. When it bothers you to be different, it's usually because you're not comfortable with your authentic self. Be who you are. Encourage your children to be what they want to be. Don't make them mini-me's. And the only path to success is to follow what I did. Even though you may be highly successful, every child is different. I cannot, you can go through a litany of famous people, musicians, actors, and their kids committed suicide. They weren't there for them, or they tried to pigeonhole them to become something they didn't want to be.
And that right there is what I call constricting life. When you have the image of what you want your kid to be, and therefore you're squeezing this round, this square peg into a round hole, you are squeezing it. Literally, we are constricting and killing our kids when we do that. And that is something, and obviously all of us, we hope and we wish our children succeed. But success is not defined by a certain, being a certain profession, being a certain the way you look, being a certain sexuality. It's none of that. I like the way you said it, Ken Bom. It's about what is the, you know, I like to say that our children, for example, they are acorns, right? You can't change the nucleus of the acorn. However, what you can do, you can provide the ground, the environment where they thrive. So they become this most beautiful, this most strong, whatever, whether they're an acorn, whether they're a lily, whether they're a violet, whatever it is, you can't change the nucleus of the child. What you can do, and I believe what, because this is like all our children. In fact, there is a poem I like most by Khalil Gibran. It says, our children are not our children. They are the product of life wishing to express itself.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you see, we can't change the nucleus of them. However, we can recognize it and decide, right, there you go. Maybe I'm a lily, right? And here I have this something, I don't know what it is, right? But it's not my job to try and get in there and distort and disarm them, disable them. It's my job as a parent, and as I'm sure Ken Bom, you know this, it's our job as leaders to provide an environment where they thrive, where they flourish. And this takes going against the grain, because obviously the society has taught us, oh, this to be this is what means to be successful, to be this. But we know that any child can thrive, whatever or whoever they are, if they are supported, if the environment is right. It's like a, you know, it's so amazing when I think about, I mean, I want to pull a lot of research in psychology, but this might be a conversation for another time, an in-depth conversation. And I'm obviously, you guys, it's not, we're not trying to say that you would not understand these statistics or anything, but I want us to have this conversation as parents to discuss what might we be doing that is actually constricting the wellness and the flourishing of our children. And when you go inside that kid, who is supposed to be a poet? And because you're a doctor, you want to force them to be a doctor. You're trying to distort the genetic makeup of that kid. And I believe what you're likely to get out of that is a Frankenstein, and it's not pretty.
That's true, and it happens all the time. Taking a child and making up their mind for them early about what they're gonna do is Russian roulette. You don't know what you're gonna get, but it's probably not gonna be good. I see this forcing kids into specializing in sports when they're 5 years old. One mother said, but look at her resume when they see she started playing volleyball at five. I'm thinking there's not one coach is going to care whether she started playing at five or 12 or 15. What they'll care about is how good is she when it comes to college recruiting, nothing else. But parents are getting these ideas fed to them. Specialize, specialize, specialize. Make them do it young. Make them do it young. No. Expose them to all the choices in life. Mm-hmm. Expose them to multiple sports. Expose them to multiple professions. Expose them to multiple people of different professions so they can learn and see how life is. My daughter was a very good athlete, and she didn't want to be great. She wanted to be really good. You get a scholarship to play volleyball, major in marine biology. She made that goal when she was in fifth grade.
Come on.
Fifth grade, she made that goal. She made up her mind. Guess what? She went to school, University of Hawaii, Hilo, on a full scholarship, played volleyball, majored in marine biology, and her dream job of working at the Marine Institute in Dana Point, California, is what she's doing today. And she doesn't make a lot of money. She doesn't get a lot of prestige, but she loves going to work every single day, teaching kids as the first female captain with this giant boat, taking them out on a daily basis, teaching them about the sea. It wasn't what I had in mind for her. I thought she was much more brilliant than that, a much better athlete than that. But that's what she wanted, and she's happy, and she's grounded with two amazing kids. And life is good. Let your kids breathe. Let them breathe. Let them be who they are. Let them express themselves. And don't judge them too soon. Oh my gosh. I see parents saying, oh, my kid's not much of an athlete. They're seven. They're not really good at art. Well, maybe you nourish that. Don't make up their minds. Don't judge them too soon. Oh, they can't sing. They can't carry a tune in a bucket. Neither could Bob Dylan. He made millions of dollars. Don't judge your kids too soon. Let them be. Let them develop. Believe in them. Yes. Believe they can do whatever they choose to do. They make up their mind to do that. With that, in my book, I talk about this. There's a lie most of us grew up with. And that is, you can do anything you choose to be. Well, guess what? That's not true. If we're 5'2", we're not going to play center for the Los Angeles Lakers. We're just not going to do it. It can't happen, right? You know, Shaquille O'Neal, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about him, even in England, is that Shaquille O'Neal, 7 foot tall, 300 pounds, could never be a horse jockey. No matter how much he wanted to be a horse jockey, it's not going to happen. You can't do anything you choose to be, but you can do anything within your genetic potential when you make up your mind. There is nothing more powerful than a made up mind. Please write that down. Please remember this. There is nothing more powerful than a made up mind. The problem is most teens don't know how to make it up. They're young, they're growing. Let them do that. There'll come a time when you can guide them on how to make up that mind. Guide them how to set goals, not the same old way that everybody else does. It doesn't work. By the way, the statistics are alarming. How many people go through these elaborate goal-setting processes just to fail? It's way over 70% of the people that go through these processes don't succeed. It's phenomenal. So there's a way to do that. And the way you do that is this. Remember this, please. Finish before you start. Mm-hmm. Finish before you start. See the outcome. breed the outcome into your children, into your teens. Breed the outcome. Let them see success. Let them feel success. Let them own success. And now when challenges arise, they'll beat those challenges because their mind is on the prize, what they're going to be, what they're going to have, the rewards, all those things.
Yeah, I love what you said, because once you have seen the promised land, when you have seen the promised land, even if you come through valleys and hills and stones and rocks, you know that it exists, and it exists for you. And like you said, there's nothing as powerful as a made-up mind. And I'm gonna bring in a little bit of science, metaphysics here, that we know that when you have that image, when you hold on to that image, you attract to yourself all things requisite, everything required to the fulfillment of that image. It is law. Just like water, you know, it goes back to the ocean. That's it's law. It's just law. That is what happens.
So absolutely.
Don't think, that is so simple. It can't work. In fact, a lot of what seems simple is really what works for us, right? And I want to ask you something about how would you encourage parents to actually, because what we know is, and what we know both in science and obviously regular wisdom, is that modeling of all influences is one of the most influential factors. So that if your children, if your teenagers are going they're not just going to listen to your talk. They want to see you walk. Yeah. They want to see you. It's not just about talk, because a lot of us think, well, we can just talk, we can just tell. But it's not about telling, it's about walking the walk. You're asking your kid to believe or to have faith in their goals and all that. But are you doing that? Are you following your own goals? Are you achieving your own goals? Are you living the life? It doesn't have to be exactly what you're asking them to do, but are you, I call it walking the walk, right? Because we know that to be one of the most influential factors influencing teenagers. I'd like you to speak into that, because maybe a lot of parents here are asking ourselves, oh my God, I like what Ken Bone is saying. I like these ideas. But how do I become the legit teacher of these ideas? Because if you're not credible, I like what John Maxwell says, that leaders, and I believe parents are leaders, you want to be so credible. You want to be so credible that your followers, in this case, your children, actually want to follow you. Right? You need credibility. So speak to us about how do then we as parents become these credible influencers to our kids?
Excellent. Well, it's better to live a sermon than preach a sermon. People want to see, they don't want to hear. Instead of talking, ask questions. The greatest question I've created in 35, almost 40 years of doing this is this question right here. What would happen if you could? That takes a person being stuck, having possibilities. A kid's trying to tie their shoe. I can't do it. It's too hard. What would happen if you could? That changes the mindset. And then you ask, what would be the first step? When you ask, what would happen if you could, you change stuck to unstuck. Mm. You change, there's no hope to, there's possibility. Mm. Now you ask this question, what's the first step, if you could? It'd be the first step. I can't do math, it's too hard. English is too tough for me. What would happen if you could do it well? What would happen if it wasn't? And you get them to change their posture, change their breathing, change their facial expression, and then you associate it with something they're good at. I'll never forget teaching my son how to dive. He was about 5 years old. We're at the local public pool. And he would stand on the edge of the dive or the edge of the deck, and he would put his hands out to dive and jump in straight like a pencil, feet first. And he'd come out, did I do it, Dad? I go, well, you get closer. He'd try it again, and he just couldn't let himself bend over and dive head first in the water. So I said, Bryce, remember when you learned how to tie your shoe, how you thought you couldn't do it, and then you did, how happy you were? He goes, yeah, Dad, that was great. Remember when you first rode the bike, when we took the training wheels off and how scary it was, but you were able to do it? How much fun was that? That was great, Dad. Go, let's dive that way. And he tries it again, and he jumps straight the same way. But I smile, you're getting it, buddy, you're getting it. Next thing you know, about the fourth or fifth time, he did it. And so that was not the way I was raised. I would have been to get in there, just die, you know, baby, quit crying. Right? You know, come on, you can do that. What's wrong? It's easy, it's simple. Don't be a baby. That's how I was raised. Doesn't work. So I think I've learned that lesson with so many athletes at world-class level. I work with Olympians and professional athletes from all over the world. And the same question, like a UFC fighter, he can't throw a left jab with snap and speed. I'll ask, what would happen if you could? Oh, well, yeah, it'd be great. My whole game would change. What would be the first step to make that happen? Oh, I would do more training. I'd do overspeed training. Who do you know that does that really, really well? Here's the modeling you talk about, Angie. Who do you know that throws a left jab really, really well? If you were like him or her, what would you do differently? You see what happened? You're no longer stuck. You now have solutions to a problem, not just listen to me, let me tell you it's done. Don't tell them anything.
Wow. Ask
questions. They'll come up with the right answers when you give them the right questions.
Absolutely. And I believe, and also we've got a lot of research showing that when you ask these open questions, you introduce possibilities, because here is what happens. Again, I'm going to bring in a little bit of neuroscience here, right? What happens is when you ask a question, instead of giving a command, the prefrontal cortex, your brain now begins to, it's like, because your prefrontal cortex is the, you would say it's like the symphony, it's like the executive function. It goes to all sorts of places in your brain and into all possibilities looking. We've been asked a question, and our job is to provide an answer. And that is how you open your key to possibilities, and even ourselves. And I think, especially as adults, you and I know that when you say you can't, you close the possibilities because you've already given an answer to yourself, I can't. But when you ask, what if I could? The if opens you to possibilities. So it's like little elves going all over the place, all over the world, you know, looking for what if? So what are the possibilities? And there is millions of possibilities, because one of the things I believe is that the universe is lavish and it wants to give us solutions. And that, when you ask that, that's why you begin to see someone, oh, something is possible, right? Oh, and you, like you said, Ken Boom, the posture changes because it's no longer doom and gloom. There is hope. You introduce hope, you introduce belief, right?
Absolutely.
And I like that. I like I like the way you're saying is it's bringing in a lot of perspective. And I'm sure all the parents watching here, we are enjoying this. I personally am enjoying hearing this in different ways. And obviously I'm going to practice a lot of what you're mentioning. I know I practice it in a different way, but I could do this. Like, what happens if you could? And then there is something, and you guys, I'm going to bring in something that you might think is religious, but I, in the scriptures, there is a verse, I think it was in Psalms, where I can't, let me not quote exactly, but hear my heart, because it's not, this is not about religion, but it's making me making the point. There was a point where David was faced with Goliath. I mean, he was faced with Goliath. And how he got his strength was he reminded himself.
Excuse me for just a second. I'm sorry, but I have to step away. I'll be right back.
That's fine. So Goliath, he reminded himself of, oh, I can do this. The God who made me, who was with me when I killed the bear, is going to help me do this. The one that was with me when I killed the lion is going to help me do this. So reminding, as Ken Bohm said, reminding ourselves of our past successes, no matter how small they are, is very, very instrumental. It's absolutely instrumental. I don't know how long Ken is gonna be away. So I would like you to ask a couple of questions for especially those ones who are watching live. You can ask, if you've got any questions, throw them over here and then I can answer them whilst Ken is, he's just popped out for a minute. And then we will come back to possibly talk about self-care tips.
Sorry about that. I'm back.
I was just asking those who are live to throw some questions to me and I can answer them whilst you're away. But because you're back, I just finished telling them about the how David encouraged himself. And it's about reminding yourself of past successes can help you deal with this, you know, this unseemingly almost impossible looking, the Goliath in front of me. So he reminded himself, whoa, the God who was with me when I killed the bear is the same one that's going to be with me when I face this one. And then the way I killed the lion that tried to grab my sheep, I did it, so I can do this. So I like when you talked about remind them, because sometimes they don't, especially when you're in the midst of that, I can't do this, and you're stuck. It can be hard to retrieve those positive accomplishments. So remind them when you tied Absolutely. Your shoes, when you tied, you learned how to tie your shoelaces, how did it feel? When you went to school, when you stepped out and went to school all by yourself and you thought you couldn't, how did that feel? And that's when you begin to see them come alive, because first of all, we know you open up their vessels of belief. You know, you open up their mind to, again, possibilities. And when someone is in that space of possibilities, oh, it's a nice space to be, because you're filled with hope, you're filled with belief. And again, like we said, all things required to help you. You begin even to experience serendipities, you know?
Absolutely.
Things you're like, oh my God, you know, oh my, I, It's because your mind is open. And again, I'm just going to mention quickly about, it's because we are spiritual beings, because we operate on vibrations. What I'm feeling at the moment, Einstein said, we have a field. We have a field, and the field is what we are thinking, because human beings are electromagnetic beings. So what we are thinking and what we are feeling, that's our field. And most of us here know basic science. We know about magnetism, and we know that we will attract things that are like to us, right? So when you're thinking, I could do this, and then someone knocks at your door, or tomorrow someone suggests something, or you know, and that's what happens. That is not just what happens in the lab. It happens on a daily basis. And that's why you hear people saying, oh, I was feeling so bad, and then it went from worse to worse and worse to worse. Or another person will say, I was feeling so good, and then this happened. I am just so lucky, right?
Yes.
This is the people we are. So, Ken, talk to us about this mental edge for teens. What one lesson in that book do you think is, I'm sure everything in there, everyone, it's important that we all take something, but if someone could ask you, what's the one thing I must do in order to shift my relationship with my teenagers, with my kids, what is it that you'd give? And the reason I ask this is, here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers, we believe in taking action on the information that we hear so that we can get our transformation. Because you know that you can have all this head knowledge, but if you don't take action on it, nothing changes, right? So in your book, which I would also recommend every parent to go grab a copy, what is the one thing that you know, if a parent got a hold of that idea and they actually went and did what you're asking them to do, it would be needle shifting?
Yes. First of all, nothing changes if nothing changes. That's a universal truth as well.
That's right.
Our brain is a supercomputer, mm-hmm. and it's programmed by the language that we use and that we take in. Mm-hmm. So since that's the truth, we need to change the language as a parent that we use with our kids. Mm-hmm. We need to teach them to use better language. Number one, get the I'll try mentality out of their head.
Mm.
Yoda gave the great wisdom, Yoda from Star Wars, remember? There is no try, only do. Yeah. And that's really what it is. I can is a possibility. That's better than I'll try. I'll try gives you an out right away. Well, I tried. I tried. It doesn't make it okay because you tried. I can means you're going to try the same thing, but the intent, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
What's more powerful than that is I will. I will is ownership. I'm going to take action. And then I must is even to the next level, because nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to get to the top of that mountain and nothing's going to stop me. So change your teenager's language from trying and hoping to doing and achieving. Change your own language as well. Start programming your brain differently, giving yourself a new path to follow. We type at a computer. We program a computer. We open programs. We do all these things. Do it to yourself. You got the most powerful computer in the world sitting on your shoulders.
That's right.
It's an amazing tool. We learn how to use it. We program it with language. Now, with that in mind, please take labels and remove them from your kids.
Wow.
They may be ADD. Okay. They may be Asperger's. Okay. I've seen this happen so many times with kids who are having terrible problems in school. because they were diagnosed autistic or ADD. And to only have somebody turn around and take that label off and believe in them and get them moving and thinking, they've got an amazing brain. I've got a friend of mine. He's diagnosed as ADD, ADHD, and then they told him he had it. Well, guess what? He went on to become the only basketball player in Princeton's history. Princeton now, kid with ADD, ADHD, couldn't concentrate, couldn't focus. Princeton played all five positions on the basketball court at one time, the first time in history anybody's ever done that. He led the team in scoring, rebounds, and assists, the first time since 1960 that anybody did that. He graduated Princeton high up in his class, then went on to Stanford and got an MBA in business.
Come on.
That terrible ADD brain. There's nothing wrong with their brain. Now, they may have extenuating situations, fine, but don't do the label. I had this father who's my sensei, my senpai in my dojo. He was a secondary black belt, and he was my assistant instructor. He brought his son to the class for the first time when he was 13 years old. This boy got about 5 minutes into the class and buckled to the ground and cried with his arms like this on the mat, crying. And the father didn't say a word. And I looked at him and I realized I'm not going to say a word either. We continued with the class. We didn't make an issue of it. And this boy, he never, ever knew what his diagnosis was. His father never told me what his diagnosis was, and he kept coming back. He kept coming back. He kept coming back. And now this one I don't want to cry on. He came back, got his purple belt, led warm-ups, shook hands, looked you in the eye, and wrote his senior paper about me.
Whoa.
And the work that I did with him and how it changed his life. Don't judge. Just do. Believe, believe, believe. Brains are magnificent. And not every brain works the same. It just doesn't. Elon Musk doesn't think like everybody else. Can you imagine some parent when he was younger with all this imagination and all these things? No, you can't just do this. I want you to be a mathematician. That's what you're cut out to be. But it ruined that boy. And Musk named his company Tesla after Nikola Tesla, who was one of the great visionaries of all time, who visualized success, who saw what he wanted to see, who would write things in a, he'd write these elaborate sketches in dirt when things would hit him. And he used his brain. I tell you right now, there's people that would diagnose him as something's wrong with him if he was growing up today. And that's one thing I'm so sick of. Now, I'm not saying there's not real problems with kids' brains at times, but I'm saying it's overly diagnosed. There's nothing wrong with that ADD brain. There's nothing wrong with that ADHD brain. Take the brain, understand it, and work with it. It's like on your computer. You might have a key that's not working quite right. Do you just smash the whole thing and say, piece of junk, get rid of it? Or do you work around that key?
You work with it. You work with it. And more importantly, because the human brain is not, and for example, I liked, in fact, you said it the other day, I posted something on social media and it went quite viral, is mind your language. Instead of calling, for example, instead of calling a child autistic, they have autism. Because when you say they are autistic, you label them and you decide that's their identity. That's not their identity. No. Their identity is that they are a child of life, a capable, a well-capable kid, right? And it doesn't matter. I mean, what was his name? The man that was in the wheelchair until he died.
Stephen Hawking.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? Look at the exploits he did. And I think a lot of people alive will not achieve what he achieved. And look at the state of him. Imagine if someone had decided, oh, you're no use because you don't look like the rest of us, right? And this is something I encourage all of us to do. And whilst our kids may not be in that particular situation, we must recognize that they are unique. And our job, like we said, we are coming back to this. Our job is to breathe life to them, say to them, grow, 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 grow. Not to try and engineer them. The other day, I think it was Dr. Russ, he shared something that I also shared with loads of people about a lot of parents are trying to be engineers instead of shepherds, right? Engineer is where you go in and you're trying to engineer everything and you're trying to change stuff inside of your kid. And that only, again, it can change the formation of your kid. In fact, there's a lot of mental health problems associated with kids who have been forced, coerced, manipulated into that area. I mean, and like you said, unfortunately, about your friend in high school, right? And that's just one case, right? Whilst we can also take the role of a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Your role is to lead and guide and, you know, and provide the best food, provide the best environment, provide the best foliage, the best that you can, encourage them, believe in them. We know that our children will rise or fall to the level that we believe for them because they're quite impressionable in our care. So if you want your kid to achieve greatness, don't think by telling them, oh, you're nothing. You know, and it's interesting because some parents think by kicking the kid's backside and saying to them, you can do, you better, you dummy. They think by doing that, it's going to, injuring the kid's psyche, right?
Absolutely.
Whilst the other example you gave of actually spending time reminding them, oh, what if you could?
That's right.
Oh, do you remember when you tied your shoelaces? How did that feel? Do you not think if you could do that, you can do this? Right? And it's those conversations, constant conversations with our kids that actually builds life, right? One of the things I encourage all of us, and I have to encourage myself because I can tell you many times I fall from grace, is to actually take a moment to ask myself, what I'm asking of my kid, is it constricting life or is it a conduit of life? Is it constricting or is it a conduit of life? Because, and when you think like that, you're like, okay, if I'm doing this, I'm actually not helping with their development. I'm not respecting the person they are. But if I'm doing this other thing, if I'm allowing them to make decisions, of course, with guidance. One of the things I also like to tell parents, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kenbong, is I believe every child has a life flowing through them. You know, the life that beats their heart?
Yeah.
The life that takes the blood all through their body? The life that keeps them alive? And we can trust in that life that it's going to guide them. But most of us, we don't give it a chance because we're telling them what to do. We are making decisions for them, you know? So they never have that, again, authenticity, your true self, because allowed to do the best for themselves. I talk to a lot of parents whose kids have have, and also a lot of kids who have had self-harming issues and suicide ideation. And given a safe opportunity, our kids actually would come to the conclusion, this is not for my highest good. And when they know, they come to a point, actually, I love myself. I value myself. I am in this life. The fact that I'm breathing means I have something to contribute.
That's right.
They have no reason to chop themselves up. They have no reason because they so value themselves and they know their importance and contribution in the world. But a lot of times, we never give them that opportunity to actually discover who they are and their importance because we are forcing things onto them. So we cloud their authenticity. We both cloud their thinking and also crowd their authenticity. And it's, you know, when the authenticity is buried in there, then they feel like, I don't want to use this word, like the CRAP, you know, they feel like that.
Yeah.
And you're, when you're feeling like that, that's what goes in the toilet, goes down, get flushed in the toilet and that, yeah?
Absolutely.
So now we are coming to the top of the hour, right? I think we've got so much to talk about. I think you've got so much value to share. And I would like our parents on here to actually grab a hold of you because I don't think we've exhausted anything on here. I think we've just scratched the surface in terms of authenticity in both we as parents and our kids. Where can people find you, Ken Baum?
Well, they can always email me at kenbaummentaledge@gmail.com. And then on Facebook and Instagram, I'm Ken Baum or Ken Baum Mental Edge. By the way, every book that I sell, I donate a book to an underserved teen. So I give free workshops to Native American reservations, the inner city schools, and donate books. To date, I've donated 960 books. Wow. And I appreciate all the purchases. And a lot of those things I do out of my own pocket. So the more books I sell, it helps. I'm not making money off of this book. I'm trying to change lives. This is my mission. My goal is to give away 100,000 books and to give 100 speeches this year free. And that's my life passion right now.
Oh, you guys, did you hear that? Contact Ken at kenbaummentaledge@gmail.com. And also that book, Mental Edge for Teens, please go and grab a copy because did you hear what happens? For every book, you know, you give, how many books do you have to sell?
I give away one book for every book sold.
Wow. So if you buy one book, you're not just changing your own life and your teen, you're actually changing a life of another teen who is underprivileged, right?
Yep.
So, wow, that is so phenomenal. So, and what about on repeat a little bit? I didn't quite get it. I'm sure it's recorded here about your social media. Where can people find you? And
Ken Baum on Facebook, mm-hmm. and Ken Baum Mental Edge on Instagram.
Ken Baum on Facebook and Ken Baum Mental Edge on Instagram.
Yes.
So, thank you so much. Have you got any final remarks on?
I do. And I think that my heart goes out to parents. I know how hard a job it is. It's not easy. And nobody's perfect. And the teen brain is not wired like the adult brain. And we forget what it's like to be a teen. Try to remember. Ask your kid this question. If there's anything you'd like to achieve and knew you couldn't fail, what would it be? again, possibilities. They'll say, well, I want to be an astronaut, you know, when they're five or when they're nine. I want to be a rock star, right? But those things will change over time. Give them that comfort that, yeah, right? Give them that comfort that if there's anything you could do and you knew you could succeed, what would it be? And their true answers come out. Now, out here in the States, you'll get kids saying, well, I want to be an NBA basketball player. Well, there's only been about 5,000. I think there's less than 5,000 people in the history of the game that have played professional basketball. Mm-hmm. Yet there's hundreds of millions that play the game. What are your chances? Not good. But you don't tell the kid that. You let them dream that. You let them believe that. You let them work for it. And they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And you ask this question. And what would be your other choice? Maybe have them list down three professions, five professions, every job you can think of that you would like to do when you get older. You see what you're doing? Mm-hmm. You're giving them choices. Now, you've given the choice. Plant the seed. Now, nurture that seed. Make your number one priority in life your kids' mental health and well-being.
Come on.
How to thrive in school, sports, and life in a world of chaos, bullies, and ever-changing values. That's what this book is about, to let them be an authentic person and you to have this amazing relationship with your children so that when you look back at it, you go, man, those teens were the tremendous teen years, not the terrible teens. Get that word out of your voice. No. Terrible teens don't exist. It's the tremendous teens. It's the remarkable teens, okay? So I thank you for your time. Appreciate all of you that stuck with us. So I had to bail out real quick and come back. Angie, you are brilliant. I'm not just saying that. You are really, really good at what you do. And I love your knowledge base. You've been a real treat. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken Wong. You guys, I'm not going to add anything into that. However, as you all know, over here, we do encourage you to take action. Don't just say, wow, that was a nice session. Ask yourself today, what one thing will I do? And that one thing could be, I will purchase that book. Take an action. Because when you begin to take an action, you also build faith in yourself. You get more respect for yourself. And the more you respect yourself, the more you trust yourself as a capable person. And that's what all you parents are. I believe in you guys, and I know you're going to do just one thing. And what I would like to hear is, what is it that you have done, right? What is it that you have done? So obviously, as always, write to me, let me know what you've done. And I look forward to seeing you in our other episodes, right? Or those of you who are just listening on audio, I look forward to having this to bringing you these conversations. And for today, I want to say I'm so, so thankful, because what you've done, you've invested your 1 hour to spend time with people who are advancing in this area of raising remarkable teenagers, people who actually have interest in this, people who are both professional as well as have personal experiences in raising teenagers. And we all know the value of association. The people you associate with, the information you're hearing, that's what's helping build your beliefs. That's what helping you learn. That's what's helping you unlearn what you don't need to hold on to anymore. And also, that's also what's helping you relearn possibly things you've heard in the past, but you need to hear them again so that you can take action. I am so, so thankful. And choose the tips for parenting for parents of teenagers. I'm going to say bye. This is Angela Karanja, adolescent psychologist and parenting teenagers expert here at Raising Remarkable Teenagers. My team is not here today, but we are here with Ken Bong, and we thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you, everyone, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye now.